today as we come to the table.
Get back to the house of God. Jacob, go back to the house of God. Get back in Bethel where I called you. Now, I know it's a literal place and it's not a church per se, but there's a spiritual principle here we see the Holy Spirit revealing as he's drawing Jacob back. And that is, it is always the first thing to go in our walk with the Lord is church. Whenever we begin to veer off course, we begin to get less and less involved in fellowship. And the first thing we need to do if we're going to be redirected and recommitted to the Lord and really, you know, rededicated to the Lord is getting back to that place where we say, all right, God, it's time to get back to the house of God.
The Lord desires for us to be in fellowship with one another and to worship Him together. There are many benefits to being involved in the local church. Because of this, the enemy is quick to steer you away or justify reasons not to go. It's healthy to consider if your church involvement has been consistent. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us. As we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will encourage listeners to evaluate their relationship with God and identify signs if it may not be where it should. Even in Genesis, the Lord was calling Jacob back to the house of God. May we be sensitive to the same tugs in our spirit to know when God is speaking or calling us back to Him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 35, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
As we continue on through the exciting story of Jacob and all the ups and downs of his life, today we look at a time of rededication. And we're going to read together to start in chapter 35. We're going to cover the first 15 verses. Why don't we read that together? And then we'll go back and look at this a little bit more closely. Notice it says, "Then God said to Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. And then let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him, and he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he had fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree, so the name of it was called Alon Bakuth. Then God appeared to Jacob again, when he came from Paddan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. And also God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you, and to your descendants after you I give this land." And then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. A time of rededication. You know what's interesting as a Christian? What I found is that we need these regular times of rededication throughout our Christian walk. Now, maybe you've found that already. But you know, it's not just a matter of you give your life to the Lord and you put it in cruise control and there you go. What I have found is that I need my tires aligned ever so often. And even if I think it's in cruise control, I'm veering off. And God has to come and get my attention and say, "Now, Mark, you're getting over the line here. You know, you're starting to read by Braille. You know how it is when you get over to the side there." And so it's time to get back. It's time to start focusing and making sure you're right between the lines and where you need to be. And so a time of rededication is good. It's healthy. Let's examine our hearts. Let's do a spiritual checkup. Where are you in the Lord? And so again, this is where we're coming to the story in Jacob's life. Jacob is now at a time where he needs a rededication, a reevaluation, a tune-up in the Lord, if you will. And remember where he was. He had come back now from Paddan Aram. And when he first came back, things were going great. God brought him back. He came to the Ford Jabbok, and you remember the story. Esau was coming with 400 men. He thought he was going to be wiped out. So what did he do? He began to wrestle in prayer at the Ford Jabbok, and then before too long, he was wrestling in person with the Lord. The Lord came and wrestled with him in a very literal way, and by the next morning, when the sun began to rise, after a full night of wrestling with the Lord, Jacob's walk had changed. Remember, the Lord touched his hip, he shrank the muscle, and now he's got a different walk in his life, and things were great. God changed Esau's heart. There was a great revival. Things were going wonderful, but there was one small problem. Now that God had Jacob going the right way, suddenly Jacob veered off, and he began to once again leave the yellow lines and go the other direction. Instead of going down toward the direction of where he had been raised and where his father and mother had brought him up, he headed up towards Shechem. He had lived there now for several years, and while at Shechem, again, Shechem was a very worldly city. A lot of sin was there. He was out of the will of God in disobedience, not following the Lord as God had called him to do, and there were consequences now coming in his life because of it. And that is, remember, his daughter had been raped, and then after his daughter was raped, her brothers went in to Shechem and began to kill all the males that were in Shechem and take the women and children captive and plunder all their goods. And of course, certainly the one who did the rape should have been held responsible. But we talked about how, you know, God wasn't pleased with the fact they wiped out the entire city. And now Jacob's in a real pickle. He's in a tough spot. And that is, he's in a place where, as far as he knows, they're going to come wipe him out. All the surrounding peoples, all the surrounding villages would no doubt hear about what his family had done. They would all band together and destroy him as a family. There in verse 30, we can actually even read that. Remember, Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You've troubled me." This is of chapter 34, verse 30. He says, "You've troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I'm few in number, they'll gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I." And so again, we see that Jacob is in a really tough spot. As far as he knows, he's about to die and his family's about to be wiped out. But you see, what God knew that Jacob didn't is God was going to use this now to redirect Jacob back where he needed to be. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God approved of or caused the rape of Dinah. I'm not saying that God approved of or caused the slaughter of the Shechemites. What I'm saying is, when that happened, when the consequences came into Jacob's life and his family's life because of the decisions that he'd made, God used it to turn the heat up in Jacob's life. And he does the same thing to us. God will allow the consequences of the decisions we make in our life to turn up the heat and to drive us back to the Lord. And it's a good thing. And I see Christians sometimes when the heat gets turned up in their life. Now, sometimes it's just a test. It's a time of growing. It's a time of maturing. But I've seen some that actually complain. You know, how could God? Why would God? When God is saying, "You don't understand, I'm doing this because I'm driving you back to me based on the love I have for you. You need to come home. You need to rededicate." And now we see God gets Jacob in a place where he says, you know what? It's time for a rededication. And that's where we take up here in chapter 35, verse 1. Notice then, God said to Jacob, "Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there." It's almost as if that's where I wanted you to head. "And make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." You know, it's interesting. Bethel was on the road that was on the way to Jerusalem. And God is always trying to drive us to a higher walk, a higher place in our walk, that place, if you will, the holy city in our life where we're the closest to the Lord. And so he's like, "Look, I sent you toward the place I wanted you to go, and you headed off toward Shechem, and now your life's in a mess. It's time for you to get redirected. And so now I'm going to give you this redirection and get you back in the direction you should go," basically. And notice what God says to him. The first thing that Jacob needs to do if he's going to rededicate and get his life back on track is go back. He says, "Go back to Bethel. Remember where you were, where you fled from Esau? Go there again." And the first thing we need to realize as believers, as we do spiritual inventory and God begins to convict us that we need to return and repent and come back to the Lord or rededicate our lives, is we need to go back to where we came from. That is to go back to that place of commitment, that place of it being in the Word and being in prayer and being in fellowship, you know, worshiping the Lord and seeking the Lord and getting back to where we belong. You know, it's interesting. Bethel or Beth-El literally means the house of God. El is God. Bet or Beth is house. And of course, they read right to left. We read left to right. They read right to left. So Beth El, God comes first. It means the house of God. And what's interesting to me is the first thing that he needs to do if he's going to get his walk back the way it needs to be with the Lord is get where? Get back to the house of God. Jacob, go back to the house of God. Get back in Beth El where I called you. Now, I know it's a literal place and it's not a church per se, but there's a spiritual principle here we see the Holy Spirit revealing as he's drawing Jacob back. And that is, it is always the first thing to go in our walk with the Lord is church. Whenever we begin to veer off course, we begin to get less and less involved in fellowship. And the first thing we need to do if we're going to be redirected and recommitted to the Lord and really, you know, rededicated to the Lord is getting back to that place where we say, all right, God, it's time to get back to the house of God. And notice this as well. You know, when he was in Shechem, he built an altar in Shechem. And again, the parallel there is like, you know, he found a church. He had a church. He found a church in Shechem, but it wasn't where God wanted him. God said, no, I want you in Bethel, and I want you to build an altar there. And that's where he would alter his life, because you see, his heart wasn't really with him. He went to church in Shechem, but there was something wrong in his heart. And we've talked about it before. Just because you go to church doesn't mean your heart's in the right place. He says, no, I want you to go, and I want you to build an altar. I want you to find a good fellowship, but I want you to do it there at Bethel, where your heart's right and where you're in the right place. It's interesting. As I said, we tend to fall away from fellowship whenever we begin to fall away from the Lord. Those two kind of go hand in hand. And yet in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, note what it says. And you can jot this down for later if you want. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Note this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now notice what he's saying. He says, don't abandon the fellowship like some people do. He says, make sure that you not only do you not abandon fellowship like certain people do, but he's saying, make sure that you encourage each other to go even more. Why? As you see the Lord's return nearing, we need to get more involved in serving the Lord, more involved in fellowship. Now, there's something else interesting about this, and that is the not forsaking of the assembling together is in the command form in the language. Mark, what does that mean? It simply means this. This is not a divine suggestion. God is not saying, I want to encourage you to be in fellowship. God is commanding us to. Now, this is not legalistic. God doesn't take roll in heaven. He's not going to find out, you know, how many times you've been to church and give you a number of rewards based on that. God commanded us because he knew that if he didn't command us, we'd get lazy about it. Well, why go? I don't need to go so much. And you know, after all this and after all that, God says, no, I'm going to put it in my word as a command so that I can show how important it is that we gather together as an assembly. Now, what is happening right here is a very interesting thing. It's God ordained. Some of you may say this, and I've heard people say this. They come to me and they say, you know, I don't really have to go to church to be a Christian. I worship God in nature, or I find God in this and all. And I think that's great. I think it's good to go out in the mountains and worship the Lord and find a Bible and have your quiet time. You better be doing that. Maybe not necessarily the mountains, but you need to be in the Word and in prayer. But they'll say, I don't need to go to church in order to be a Christian. And that's true. You don't need to go to church in order to be a Christian. You only have to go to church in order to be obedient. And that's the difference. If we choose to be in disobedience, we don't need to be involved. If we choose to be obedient, then we need to get involved. And that's what this verse is saying in Hebrews chapter 10. And so again, he's getting now Jacob to the place he needs to be and saying, you know what, Jacob, it's time to come back where you were. It's time to reevaluate from where you've fallen and to look at your priorities again. And Jacob, verse 2, said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. And then let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who has answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. You see, he was in distress. And he says, God's answered me in my distress, and God is sending me back to the place of fellowship where God wants me to be. And so therefore, I'm going to answer that distress. So God was using it in a good way to drive his life back where he needed to be. But again, this is interesting to me because note this, he lists three things that he asked them to do as he rededicates his life. And I love this about Jacob. He doesn't just rededicate his life. He says, I'm taking my family with me. And so moms and dads, take note of that. When we look at our lives and evaluate where we are in the Lord, we need to say, what about my family? I want to bring my family with me. I want my family to be rededicated to the Lord. I want my family to be committed to the things of the Lord. And so it's a team effort, really, as a mom and dad. But in this situation, you have to commend him for saying, you know what, here's what I want you guys to do. Now, not only get back to the place he needed to be, but notice the next three things he says that they need to do on this path back to rededication. Number one, they have to put away their foreign gods. Number two, they have to purify themselves. And number three, they have to change their garments. Now, let's look at each one individually. Notice, first of all, it said put away their foreign gods. Now, these may have been the gods that Rachel brought with her when she left. Remember, she stole her father's gods, and we've talked about how sad it is when you have a god that can be stolen. But she stole his gods and brought the gods with her. These may be some of those gods. Or it may be they picked up more gods while they were there in Shechem. So you might say, all right, you know, Mark, that's pretty clear. They had to give their gods up, but we don't have gods today. I mean, we don't have little statues or, you know, things that we put on our dashboard or things. We don't have that today. And yet you say, so wait a minute. So what about us? What about our little gods that we need to get rid of? Well, guys, here's what the Bible says a foreign god is. Anything that gets between us and the Lord is a foreign god. You name it. Now, there's nothing wrong in hobbies or things you like to do. I've got those. You've got those. But if there's anything in your life that's between you and the Lord right now, and that's separating you from God or taking the place of God or is more important than God, that is a foreign god. Well, I'd like to be more involved, but I've got this thing. Well, I'd like to do this, but I've got this thing. Well, what is that thing? Find out what it is and make sure there are no other gods that are separating you from serving the true and living God. Put them away. Be done away with them. That's the first thing they needed to do. Notice the second thing. Secondly, they needed to purify themselves. What does that mean? Repentance. Going to the Lord and confessing these gods, saying, all right, God, you've revealed these gods. Here they are. I give them to you now. I turn away from them. And now I confess them before you and I repent of it. And God says, all right, now you're on the path to restoration. You're on the path to rededication, getting rid of the foreign gods and then asking forgiveness of having them and whatever else might be in the way between us and the Lord. And notice lastly, the third thing, changing their garments. Now, garments in and of themselves, I'm sure their clothes weren't tainted, but it's the symbolic picture that they had as a family here, and that is, we're changing everything. We're changing direction. We're taking off the old and putting on the new. What does the Bible say? Put off the old man and put on Christ Jesus. Walk in him. So notice what he's saying to his family. You know, we've got to get rid of the foreign gods. We've got to confess our sin, and we've got to change our ways. We have to go a different direction, a new direction. And so he's doing all the right things and really the same things that we need to do if we're going to rededicate to the Lord. Now, what's amazing to me about this is that Jacob knew they had these foreign gods for a long time before he took action to deal with it. And let us take warning as parents. You know, we talked about Jacob being a passive father. He didn't watch over his family spiritually like he should have. We saw that last week. That's what got his family in the mess in Shechem. But now we see again this same problem here is that he knew they had these gods. He didn't deal with it. He should have said, you can't bring these gods. He probably didn't even know Rachel had those gods when we read the story about her hiding them in the camel's saddle. But when he found out, he should have said, what are you doing? We serve the God of Abraham. Get rid of these gods. And see, here's the warning for us. I think sometimes we allow our families and we allow ourselves to be involved in something that we're convicted about for longer than we should. God begins to convict our spirit, and we say, you know what, we really shouldn't be involved in this. I don't really like the way this makes me feel. You know, I don't, this is not right. I don't like this, but we let it go on. If we do that, we're going to bring consequences. And so Jacob now is suffering the consequences of doing that, but you have to give him credit because now he's taking action. He says, enough. That's it. We're done with it, and we're not going to have any more. So he says, notice verse 4, so they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them, or literally he buried them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. You know, he calls a family meeting. He's, everybody in here now, come on, get your gods out. You know, and let's get rid of them. We're going to rededicate to the Lord. Now, maybe we could do that as a family even today. And again, it may not be, like I said, little statues. No doubt it won't be. But the bottom line is to get our family together and say, now, come on, guys, what's in your life right now that you need to clean up? What's happening? Where are you? You know, where are you with your friends? Where are you with the Lord? Where are you with mom and dad? What's happening in our life as a family? It's time to rededicate. Let's get the gods. Let's bring them to the forefront. And so they bring all these gods in. And notice this, the earrings as well. It's interesting. They bring in earrings. Apparently, earrings were used in false worship as well. And, you know, even today we see that people wear earrings with different symbols on them and stuff that have to do with other religions and other gods. And so maybe that's all it was. But notice this. I love this. He says, bring these things to me. And he buries them. He hides them under the terebinth tree that was by Shechem. And what that means is he buried them. He dug them up and buried them. And what a great picture this is for us in what we need to do as we head back to a rededication in the Lord. As God reveals the false gods, we take it to the tree and we bury them. What is our tree? It's the cross of Calvary. And so God shows us these gods that we have in our life, and we go to the tree and we say, all right, Lord, it's time to bury them. I'm done with them. I don't want them anymore in my life. I'm burying them at the foot of the cross, and God will wash them away. He says, I'll take them away. They're done. And it's interesting here. I love the meaning of this word, because the word hid here, it sounds like maybe he's temporarily putting it away, but he's not, because literally the word means in the language to put away in such a way that it cannot be found. I love it. And see, when we come to the cross of the Lord, we say, God, I'm giving this to you and I don't want it back. You know, the thing about Jacob's life is one minute he's doing good, one minute he's doing bad. One minute he's doing good, one minute he's doing bad. And he has this unstable Christian walk in his life. And there seems to be a turning point here for Jacob where Jacob says, I'm tired of that. I'm burying this stuff. I'm going to give it to you where it can't be found again. I want to move on. I want to rededicate to you. And I don't want to go back to the old Jacob. I want to live as Israel. And we're going to see God reminds him of that in a moment. And I think this is a good turning point in Jacob's life of stability. You know, it's interesting. When I came to the Lord, I remember I had, I was a musician and I had a bunch of, old records and things. And a lot of them would be considered classics and this kind of stuff. But they had a lot of lyrics that were very dishonoring to the Lord. And a lot of lyrics that really I knew that I shouldn't have. As a believer, I realized that I shouldn't be a part of that type of music any longer. There's nothing wrong in music, but the music I had was stuff that I shouldn't have. And I remember thinking, all right, I need to get rid of this music. I need to throw this music away. And there's that thought that popped in my mind, but some of these, you know, are classics and probably someday I'll be worth something, you know? And so maybe I should just kind of, this kind of thing. And God began to speak to my heart and say, wait a minute. They may be classics in the world's, you know, eyes, but they're not classics to me. And I want you to bury these things. I want you to get rid of them. I want you to do away with it, because I don't want you to be going back and being tempted to pull it back out. And you know, we all have our own different convictions about what God wants us to do. And God began convicting me of that. And of course, you can begin to reason with God. You know, but God, someday I could sell these and make money. I mean, this is something I could redeem. And these are like, you know, whatever. He's like, okay, so it's poison for you, right, Mark? Well, yeah, it's poison for me. That's why I'm getting rid of them. So you're going to give your poison to someone else? Oh, I see what you're saying, Lord. Okay, I got you. And I remember going, and the freedom I had when I dumped these things, you know, and just threw them away, I realized, you know what? That was for me something God convicted me that I needed to get rid of in my life. And it was like burying my gods, if you will, at the tree. And God says, if you just bury your gods at the tree, I will set you free. And what's exciting is some of you are saying, wait a minute now, I can't, you don't understand. I've tried to bury these things. I've tried to leave this stuff behind for years, and I just can't seem to do it. Listen, God not only will bury them where they cannot be found, but God will give you the power to overcome it. You see, the cross is not just a place of forgiveness. The cross is a place of power to walk with Jesus Christ the way he's called us to walk. In Acts 1:8, what did the Lord say? He said, you know what? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive what? Power. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the outermost parts of the world. So God gives us the power that we need not only to bury them, but to overcome them.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.